Sangam Yatham Kimatni Krishna Nivesham Sangam Anas Chakshay Kalir. We can speak a little bit regarding the point discussed in the report, the Bhagavad Gita, or 7 days discussing Srimad Bhagavatam. It's a fact that because Maharaj Parikshit was cursed to die in 7 days by Shrini, the immature Brahmin boy, that he listened to Srimad Bhagavatam for only 7 days and achieved perfection. However, we should note that his listening to Srimad Bhagavatam for 7 days was not interrupted. He did not sleep and did not eat. And Shukadeva Goswami was able to keep up with him. Together they discussed. That's one thing. The other thing is that Shukadeva Goswami was fully competent Mahabhagavata to speak Srimad Bhagavatam. And Maharaj Parikshit was the perfect audience because he was very serious to hear. And he was fully attentive and submissive and intelligent. Now today, there is a phenomenon called Bhagavad Saptaha, mostly in India, although now it's starting to come west, where a professional reciter holds a conference called Bhagavad Saptaha and invites the public to come in here for 7 days. And of course there's some charge also, there's some fee. The fee is used by the professional reciter to maintain his family business, his family household affairs. That's the first problem, that the speaker of Bhagavatam should not be using the Bhagavatam to maintain his family. Shukadeva Goswami was not earning any livelihood by his speaking. He simply spoke because it is the duty of a self-realized soul, Brahmana, to teach. The second problem is that they don't continue for 7 full days and nights. It's just for some time, a few hours each day, after work usually. And another problem is that generally the professional reciters are not even Vaishnavas. Generally they're Mayavadis. They're, in other words, Mayavadis or materialists or a combination of both. In other words, they're not pure bhaktas. That's a problem. Then, another problem is that the hearers of the Bhagavatam at these recitations are not really interested in understanding about devotional service or how to get out of the material world, but more they're interested in trying to accumulate some punya, pious credits, so that their sense gratification can be enhanced. Another problem is that generally the professional reciters, they jump right to the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. In other words, they skip the first 9 cantos, and not only that, but they skip 30 or so chapters of the 10th canto as well and go right through the 5 chapters where Krishna is dancing with the gopis. This is not proper. How can one go to the immediately to the most elevated and confidential part of Krishna's pastimes without qualifying himself by the other 9 cantos of Srimad Bhagavatam? It's like a child trying to understand quantum mechanics without even understanding the mathematics, addition and subtraction. Is it possible? He's going to immediately jump up. If some teacher says, come, little child, I'll teach you quantum mechanics. Oh, it's not possible. So, such things are going on, and we have to say that this is the cheaters and the cheated. The cheater wants to make some money, or get some fame, or both. And those who are cheated, they're willing to pay, and they want to give or gain some impetus for their own nonsense activities. They like to hear about Krishna's enjoying with the gopis because then they think this gives support to their own desires to enjoy with young ladies. This is their idea. Krishna has given them a good opportunity. Well, God is doing it. So I'm also God's devotee. I do the same thing as God. What Krishna does, I do. So we will find in Prabhupada's, not only his books as here, but also in his lectures, discussions, he's very harsh on this Bhagavad Saptaha because it is a concocted term and it should not be utilized. They're imitating the discussion between Shukadev and Parikshit without any of the qualifications whatsoever. Therefore, he's very harsh on it. On this whole process, he said, there is nowhere in any of the commentaries of the great Vaishnavas that it is mentioned. However, one devotee, named Yashomati Nandan, he's a devotee who's from Gujarat. And disciple Srila Prabhupada, he mentioned, he was discussing with Prabhupada about this Bhagavad Saptaha that was going on in India, and he was telling him about how popular they were. That many, many people came to hear, and Prabhupada was, again, of course, disgusted that they were being cheated. And then he said, well, why don't you, since people are so eager to hear this, why don't you speak on the Bhagavatam and give them at least the message of the Bhagavatam properly. So therefore, there was one instance where Prabhupada, you could say, authorized devotees to do this. Of course, it is very delicate. Delicate when one, shall we say, goes into the enemy camp, so to speak, and tries to defeat them. But there is the example that Prabhupada said. So that's why now in ISKCON there are devotees trying to do this. They are holding Bhagavad sometimes. We should understand that it's supposed to be different, that it's simply using something that's already popular. It's not that we are in favor of this, because, as Prabhupada also said, Nityam Bhagavata Seva, the Bhagavatam should be spoken daily. And it should be heard continuously up until the end of life, not just for 7 days. That's the point. Why 7 days? And why 10th canto? Bhagavatam should be heard from the beginning of first canto. When people want to make illustrations of Bhagavatam or movies, they like to go to the 10th canto. Prabhupada said, make a movie of the first canto. Start from the beginning. Don't jump. Because if they jump, what will happen? I say, why? Life is short. Why not get to the essence? The idea is that if one tries to go to the 10th canto prematurely, he won't be able to understand. He will not have become purified, and he'll think that Krishna's pastimes with the gopis are mundane. Just like a young boy and some girls. He'll misunderstand the whole thing, and the result will be that his lust will increase. Whereas if one hears Bhagavatam, 10th canto, when he's properly qualified, then his lust will decrease. That is the difference. If one's lust increases, it means he's not qualified to hear Bhagavatam. And if his lust decreases, it means he is qualified. Are there any questions?
Maharaj, how is when Kali Yuga practical, nobody is voluntarily giving donations to Brahmanas? And if we speak, for example, somebody is like a family devotee and he's giving lectures in school.
Durbhiksha. And Durbhiksha means that in Kali Yuga it is said that there will be Durbhiksha. Bhiksha means alms, and it'll be very difficult to get alms in Kali Yuga. The Brahmanas will have a hard time getting food stuff. So yes, Prabhupada sometimes said that if you want to attract people, then charge a lot of money, because they'll think that if it's expensive, it must be worthwhile. So if they charge, 30 or 40 euros to go to the rock, Ruz Rock, people think, oh, it costs a lot, it must be very good. If it was free, not everyone would attend. Anyway, in terms of speaking transcendental knowledge, Prabhupada has given both. He said on one hand, Brahmanas are not supposed to charge. On the other hand, he said you can charge. So the point is, somehow or other we have to speak the real knowledge. That's the point. But if charging helps, charge. If not charging helps, don't charge. That's the point. And even in terms of this Bhagavatam, if that's the only way you can get them to come to even here for 7 days, then alright, get them to come for at least 7 days. Maybe they'll get some taste, some realization by hearing from real devotees. But let's not take it too far. If you take it too far and you think, well, if Bhagavad Saptaha is working good, we're getting so many people by having a devotee speak, but he's only attracting, you know, a certain number, why not have one of these famous professional reciters come? He'll attract many more, because they do, they attract lots. So then if you think, well, let's have him speak, we'll get more people, we can make more money. Oh, now you missed the whole point. Now you become also a cheater. Now, for the sake of money and fame, you are willing to sacrifice the purity. Therefore, we have to be very careful about utilizing this Bhagavad Sattana. I would say extremely careful, because Prabhupada... actually, we have nothing in writing about him ever authorizing it, but I happened to speak with that devotee. I happened to ask him about it, and he explained. Therefore, we can accept that there may be some use of this term or this event, which normally Prabhupada condemned, but maybe it can be utilized.
I met one brother who is like working in a theater. He's writing acts. He's very fond of old classics. He has one of our books. He reads it. He likes it. And now he bought Bhagavatam also. He said he would like to make an act And he said that he will read it through and he will connect us. So is there some nice instructions? How we give him some instructions? How to make up this? Of course, he's an artist, he must be independent, but if there's a guidance, you should give him.
Yes, of course, we'd like to encourage everyone as far as possible, but we also know that writing plays on Bhagavatam is not for neophytes. A neophyte trying to write a play will be faced with many problems, many things he will not understand. It's like a neophyte in music trying to write a major concerto composition. He's going to be faced with many problems. He doesn't know very much about music, so how can he write all that? So that's the problem, and they don't understand that really, to write anything about a Vaishnava literature requires one to be self-realized. Therefore, Prabhupada never encouraged devotees too much to write songs or poetry, especially, or plays. But if he's determined that he wants to do this, he doesn't just want to practice bhakti yoga and become a devotee first, which would be better. It'd be better if he took up seriously the words of Bhagavatam, the words of Bhagavad Gita, chanted regularly, followed the principles, everything. Then, in due course of time, when he was mature, it would be very welcome. But sometimes people are a little impatient and they want to. So then you can advise him to begin from the first canto, as Prabhupada said. Don't jump to the 10th canto. And confirm his writing with the senior devotees. Let some of the senior devotees look at it and make comments, and he should be willing to adjust according to their comments. And if they think that it's acceptable, then he's under proper guidance, he's been able to render some service. Any other questions? Another point here is that qualification for Maharaj Pariksha was he had already given up his connections with his kingdom and his family, which is not easy to do. One who really wants to understand Srimad Bhagavatam should be like Maharaj Pariksha. He should be detached. Because remember, Bhagavatam is the postgraduate study. Bhagavad Gita is the preliminary study. And Bhagavatam is the graduate study. Chaitanya Charitamrita is the postgraduate study. Sometimes people say, now they're speculating that the Bhagavad Gita is actually a discussion where Krishna is delineating Vraja Bhakti. Of course, this goes against what we've heard, because what we've heard is Bhagavad Gita is the preliminary study of spiritual life. So we'd have to change all of Prabhupada's statements if we accept this new theory. Well, fortunately, we don't have to accept any new theories. There's no need. We already have everything. Prabhupada said everything is in his books. He's given us everything. And we're satisfied with Bhagavad Gita as it is. But there will be those who applaud the new Braja Leela Gita because they want to be cheated. They want to immediately jump up to the 10th canto without even going through. This is why they skip the whole Bhagavatam. They even skip the Gita, go right to the 10th canto. We thought before people were ambitious that they didn't want to read the 9 cantos to prepare themselves. Now, they're even more ambitious, Kali Yuga. They want to skip even Bhagavad Gita and they want to go to the 10th canto. This is not allowed by the acharyas, it's not recommended. It's in the same ideas as professional Bhagavatamism. Because as the professional reciter is an opportunist who uses the Bhagavatam's 10th canto to attract people for his own purpose, now we have people using not only the Bhagavad Gita but also 10th canto Bhagavatam. Double opportunism to make money and to get fame. So we should not be tempted or misled by these new commentaries on Bhagavad Gita. Just ignore it. As another adding to the six, Prabhupada said 645 unauthorized commentaries, so you can add this to the list, another one.
It seems like this, like if you spoke about this new Gita that they have written. So it seems like there is all the time new material coming about how to become more and more elevated in devotional service. So didn't Prabhupada say that it's just enough to read these books? Or should we like decline even from reading this new stuff like this is coming?
Well, this one especially should be declined. That's why we're mentioning it. As far as Prabhupada wanting his followers to write books, that's a fact. He wanted them to write it. But they should be qualified to write. Not that they just write anything. Some speculation. And just like they say at the beginning of this book, they say, Prabhupada wanted all his disciples to write. That doesn't mean that blanket approval for whatever they write. They have to write in the line, in the simple succession, not that they make up something, some concoction. Like one politician said that Bhagavad Gita was meant for teaching nonviolence. Another politician said that he was a Mayavadi, so he said, when Krishna says that we should surrender to him and become his devotee, it is not to the person Krishna that is indicated here, but to the unborn within Krishna. So he was a Mayavadi and he wanted to present Mayavad philosophy, but he was using Bhagavad Gita, because Bhagavad Gita is very popular. This is like taking, someone wants to smoke ganja, but he doesn't want to get his own fingers, you know, yellow. So he takes someone else's hand and he smokes the ganja through their hand. If you want to speak something, speak your own philosophy. Write your own book. Why do you have to say Bhagavad Gita? Because they're cheaters and they want to. They know. As soon as you come out with a Gita, it's such a popular book, even if it's bogus, you'll sell some copies. It's a fact. Isn't it? Anyone knows that. For example, if you wanted to come out with a Gita, Bhagavad Gita, you could sell. Whatever it may be. Bhagavad Gita, you know, in Finland. Bhagavad Gita, just like They came up with a whole religion. Jesus comes to America, the Mormon religion. It's all a concrete religion. But still, they have thousands of followers. Because anything they call it Christianity, they use Christ, drag him in to make a new sect. So similarly, you could make Bhagavad Gita, you know, spoken in Lapland. And you'd get, it would sell. I guarantee you, it would sell. Especially in Finland. So, those who want to cheat, there's no dearth of ideas how to do it. They'll come up with many new ways. And those who want to be cheated, because they think, this is good, I don't have to, you know, this Bhaktivedanta Swami, he's so strict. Like, I remember once in 1971 in Portland, you know, the movement was beginning to become quite prominent, the Krishna consciousness movement. And all the bogus gurus and yogis, they knew about ISKCON. And Prabhupada, of course, was, you know, like Parashuram. He just cut everything to shreds. He cut all these bogus gurus and swamis to shreds. Just cut their heads off, their arms, their everything. So they were feeling, oh, Bhaktivedanta Swami is just destroying us. So one of them came out with a advertisement. He was advertising, and he said, come and join this yoga society. You don't have to follow any rules. You don't have to give up eating meat, fish, or eggs. You don't have to give up illicit sex. You don't have to give up intoxication or gambling. So where did he get those four? We know where he got them. He thought, the only hope I've got left is to attract people who don't want to give up those. And he knew that most people don't want, so he's trying. Therefore, Prabhupada's teaching is so strong that people can't take it. The people who are not sincere, they don't want to accept it. So they come up with all kinds of new ideas. Now you can get Vraja Bhakti from reading Bhagavad Gita. Cheap. This is Prakriti Sahaja. Nothing but Prakriti Sahaja. Prabhupada warned, he trained us to spot these things. So now we have to spot them. We have to point these things out. Otherwise, why did he train us? How many times did he, have any of you read all of Prabhupada's books? How many times did he speak of Prakriti Sahaja? Or all of his lectures, his room conversation? How many times? Hundreds of times. Why? He was preparing us for what was going to come. The Raja Bhakti Gita. And now we have to be prepared. Okay, now this is our test. Have you understood? And if we say, but maybe, no, then we didn't understand yet. Maybe I can get the quick thing without understanding Bhagavad Gita. Without even understanding I'm not the body. Bhagavad Gita is a preliminary study. Without going through the nine cantos. You want to be cheated? All right. Go ahead, take the new Gita. Think that you're on a Raganuga platform. Cheat yourself. But you won't cheat Krishna. Krishna won't be fooled. It's like there's a group. What is it? 13 unauthorized groups. Aula, Baula, Karta, Bhaja. They're the Upasampradaya. Sautra Maharaj has written about Upasampradaya. These groups. So one of them is Sakhi Bekhi. So the Sakhi Bekhis, they dress up like, they're men, they dress up like gopis. Literally, you know, with makeup and saris and, you know. And they're so foolish that they think that Krishna will be attracted to them. That Krishna doesn't know this is a rascal man dressed up like a woman. Krishna's such a fool, he'll be attracted to them, like they're gopis. So it becomes so bizarre and so foolish. people go to such length to avoid Bhagavad Gita, the real Bhagavad Gita, as it is, to avoid actual devotional service, to avoid Prabhupada's very strong statements about what should be done and what shouldn't be done. But those who want the real thing, they take the medicine, even though it's a little bitter. Yes, reading Bhagavad Gita as it is a little bitter medicine, because he doesn't leave any room for speculation, for nonsense, for cheating. No way. So therefore, the new one, they wrote a whole new Gita, all new translations, new word meanings, and of course new commentary. We have to decline. If we're sincere. If we're not sincere, curiosity killed the cat, as they say. So you want to drink the milk that's touched by the lips of the serpent, then you'll get the poison. You may think, oh, milk is so nice, it's good, nutritious. Yes, but when the snake touches it, it's got poison. It's not Bhagavad Gita. You can't make Bhagavad Gita into what you like. Someone said Bhagavad Gita, he was a physician, so he said, actually Bhagavad Gita is a treatise between a doctor and a patient. Someone else said, Bhagavad Gita means the five Pandavas actually represent the five senses, and Kurukshetra is the body. So he's a psychologist, so he wanted to give his own interpretation. Everyone's giving their own interpretation of Bhagavad Gita. But that's not the way to understand. Thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.
Maharaj ki jai.